Chapter 15. Harvest, February 11th, 2525. Avery had always preferred to operate before first light. Something about the inevitability of sunrise heightened his senses, made him more alert. Breathing in the cool air of a soon-to-be hot and humid day, Avery wondered if the aliens shared his preference. Exhaling, he hoped they didn't. Today was supposed to be a peaceful parley. But in case things went bad, Avery wanted every advantage he could get.
You tired, Osmo?
No, Staff Sergeant.
You keep yawning like that, I'm gonna pull you off the line.
Yes, Staff Sergeant.
The militia was gathered in Harvest's Botanical Gardens, the planet's largest park after Utgard's Mall. Located about 150 kilometers southeast of the capital city, the gardens were the most remote and yet still stately location Lieutenant Commander Alcigny could find. If it were up to Avery, he'd have moved the meeting further away, not just from Utgard, but from any population center. But Governor Thune had been willing to trade the small risk of civilian observation for the scenic grandeur he deemed necessary for humanity's first formal meeting with alien beings. And Avery had to admit, the gardens were plenty grand. The park stepped down to the Bifrost in three landscaped tiers, the lowest of which was a broad lawn of close-cropped grass that grew right up to the precipice. Here the Bifrost bulged in an unusual promontory, a spur of windswept limestone that provided panoramic views of the plain of Ida. To the north of the promontory was a spectacular waterfall, the abrupt end of the Mimir River, that started in the Vigrond Highlands and cut just to the south of Utgard. The Mimir's clear water tumbled down the escarpment to the murky, slow-moving Slidder, a river that followed the contours of the Bifrost and drained into Harvest's southern sea. Standing in the middle of the lowest tier, Avery couldn't see the falls past a border of magnolia trees, but he could hear them, water crashing against rock, like an endless peal of thunder. Reveille for a world not yet awakened to its peril. Avery scanned the faces of 1st Platoon's Alpha Squad. The 12 recruits stood in two lines on opposite sides of a large X of landing lights. The bright bulbs were meant to serve as visual confirmation of the directions Max Jotun All-in-Ones had etched into the freighter's hull. The recruits' olive-drab fatigues were freshly pressed and their boots were polished, not the sort of thing to do if they'd wanted to blend into the surrounding greenery. But Avery knew that was all part of Alcigny's plan. Make the aliens feel welcome, but also let them see exactly what they were dealing with. Osmo's hand shot to his mouth, stifling another yawn. He and the other recruits had been up most of the night helping Avery and Byrne hide surveillance gear in the trees, dozens of small cameras, and even a few compact Argus units.
That's it, recruits, step out!
Avery thrust a thumb toward the magnolias bordering the northern edge of the lawn. Hidden in the mossy rocks and ferns between the trees and the river was 1A's backup, Stison and the rest of the 2A recruits.
But staff's...
But what?
Osmo's thick cheeks flushed.
This recruit wants to stay with his squad.
Osmo tightened his grip on his MA5's shoulder strap, tugging the rifle against his back.
Wants to do his duty.
Avery frowned. It had been less than 48 hours since the exercise at the reactor complex, since Captain Ponder had broken the news of the alien's arrival. He'd laid things out, plain and simple, right in the middle of the recruits' victory dinner. Hostile aliens had found Harvest, and it was up to the militia to deal with the situation until help arrived. The garrison mess had gotten so quiet so quick, Avery thought the recruits were about to bolt, go AWOL right then and there. But in the stunned silence that followed Ponder's announcement, no one moved. Eventually, the captain asked if the recruits had any questions. Stison had been the first to raise his hand.
We the only ones who know, sir?
Just about.
Can we tell our families?
Afraid not.
You want us to lie?
Stison had glanced around the mess.
Like you've been lying to us.
Ponder held out an arm to keep Byrne in his seat.
If we'd told you the truth, that we were expecting aliens, not innies, would it have made a difference?
The captain caught as many suspicious eyes as he could.
Would you have refused to serve? Your families and your neighbors aren't in any less danger. You're the only protection they've got.
Then, nodding at his staff sergeants,
we've trained you. You're ready.
Das was next to stand.
For what, sir?
Exactly.
Ponder motioned for Healy to kill the fluorescence and power on a wall-mounted video display.
I'll tell you everything we know.
The lieutenant commander had put together a good briefing, and the recruits were a rapt audience, especially during the footage from Avery's helmet cam of his fight aboard the freighter. Byrne remained stoic as he rewatched one of the vacuum-suited aliens stab its pink blade deep into his thigh. So did Avery, as he saw himself raise his M6 pistol to another alien's chin and blow its brains all over the inside of its helmet. As the footage showed him push toward the umbilical in hot pursuit of the retreating alien leader, Avery noticed the recruits glance in his direction and nod approvingly to one another. Avery hadn't ascribed any particular bravery to his actions, and in retrospect, he knew charging the alien ship had been extremely dangerous. Part of him wished Alcigny had included all the footage, shown the methane explosion and Avery's mad scramble away from the fireball, if only to prove to the recruits that sometimes caution was the better part of valor. But instead, the final frozen frame was that of the alien ship blowing to pieces as the lieutenant commander's sloop moved away from the freighter. A victorious finish that set the recruits to excited muttering as Healy flipped on the lights.